Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres begin a three-game set with the Mets in New York, and our host Jesse Agler is proud and excited to be joined by a man who played for both teams during his career.
I like this, and we'll see how it works. It might be a total disaster, who knows? But to me, it makes a lot of sense on paper.
And since it will be the Randy Jones series, he'll be expecting some special treatment today.
You know, he comes in and he's got the very specific, you know, I need chilled water in the refrigerator, that kind of stuff.
Well, he only eats brown M&Ms. He has to have two swimming pools.
Two swimming pools?
One salt and one chlorine.
Oh, so you like freshwater pool and a saltwater pool.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. It's Tuesday, July 28th, which means we're getting close to Friday, July 31st. That is the non-waiver trade deadline.
Wow.
It's a big day on the baseball calendar.
All these are big days right now.
It's You're right. It's not just about the one day, although
you never know when the bomb will go off.
Well, the bomb just went off for the Philadelphia Phillies and the Washington Nationals, so to speak. The Jonathan Papelbon deal has been consummated formally between those two teams. And so the closer will go from Philadelphia down the street to Washington. That's how they say it on the East Coast, Washington.
It's a short drive.
It is. That's a quick one. That's easy, man. You just hop on the Greyhound bus. You're there in no time. So Papelbon will get on the Greyhound, and he'll go from Philadelphia to D.C., and he will presumably become the closer for the Washington Nationals. So the two teams at the top of the National League East both fortifying their bullpens this week. The Mets acquiring the former National, coincidentally, Tyler Clippard from the Oakland Athletics, and you may say him tonight late in the game. Whether the Mets have the lead or not might be one of those situations where they want to get him in there.
Get his feet wet.
That's it. And so a lot going on. We'll go over all of the trades. We'll talk about tonight's game. I even want to talk a little bit about the last game that the Padres played against the Marlins on Sunday. Randy is here, and as a former Padre and a former Met, I know this series really gets your blood boiling every year.
It certainly does. Oh, yeah. In Miss Shea Stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple
know,
years.
I know, Blooper, you like Shea.
A couple years towards the tail end of your career.
Yeah, tail end. That was a little frustrating. Yeah, I had some nerve problems with the arm that I'd had in the past, and, you know, it got a little complicated.
Gave it a shot. You were giving it a shot, man.
Yeah, I went to the East Coast, gave it a shot, and, you know, when I was healthy, it was pretty good, and then but I just couldn't keep the arm healthy.
All right. Well, let's go over the latest trades. I want to make sure everybody is caught up.
Right.
And everybody I know is on Twitter, and they get the alerts on their phones and everything. But just to catch up the last few days, all right, we'll work from the past into the present. All right. Scott Kazmir goes from Oakland to Houston. All right. Aramis Ramirez goes from Milwaukee to Pittsburgh. Juan Uribe and Kelly Johnson go from the Braves to the Mets. We'll see those guys tonight. Uribe is in the starting lineup. Johnny Cueto goes from the Reds to the Kansas City Royals. We just mentioned Tyler Clippard, which I realize now my computer auto-corrected to Clipart, which is funny. Clipart. Tyler Clippard goes from the A's to the Mets. Shane Victorino yesterday from Boston to Anaheim.
Today/last night,
Ben Zobrist goes from the A's to the Royals. Kansas City's going for it.
They certainly are.
They say this is our window, and we're trying to make it happen. Just now we said Papelbon to the Washington Nationals. And last night, really the big blockbuster, I think, so far, involving a team from the Padre division, the National League West. Troy Tulowitzki goes to the Blue Jays.
Yeah, Toronto.
And in exchange for Jose Reyes and a couple of big-time prospects. These are two all-star shortstops. Granted, Tulowitzki, much better than Reyes, particularly at this moment in time, getting exchanged for one another. This is a weird deal.
That kind of surprised me when I read that.
You're not alone.
I thought, wow. I mean, talk about retooling a franchise. That certainly sounds like it.
The Blue Jays score more runs than anybody in baseball, but they cannot pitch. They can't. They're just miserable. From a pitching standpoint this year, which is why they're right at about 500.
So you go out and get a shortstop.
So you go out and you get a shortstop. And granted, Tulo, when healthy and went on the field, one of the best in the game offensively.
Yeah, well, if Toronto thinks they have a chance, then I have a funny feeling they're not done yet then.
Sure, exactly. Exactly. The Rockies, meanwhile, are trying to rid themselves of a guy that they consider to be injury-prone and maybe overpaid, and then they go out and they replace him, at least for the moment, with a guy who is more injury-prone and more overpaid. But now, again, they get a couple of real-deal prospects back as well. Rampant speculation, though, that the Rockies may flip Jose Reyes. And again, when healthy, good player, man. You know, not the guy
when
that,
healthy.
Not the guy, yeah, for sure. Not the guy the Mets had, you know, at the beginning of his career, but certainly a good player, a guy that can lead off, a guy that you can plug in at shortstop. And we talk about this all the time. A lot of teams around Major League Baseball that could use a guy like that. So, again, with a couple of days still to go in this thing, you certainly would say, oh, there may be a chance that, that Jose Reyes gets moved by the Colorado Rockies.
Exactly.
The most interesting thing maybe about that deal was that Troy Tulowitzki was completely blindsided by this thing. I guess he had a gentleman's agreement with their front office. And, again, it's not on paper, so –
Yeah, and he didn't have a no trade.
He didn't have a no trade. But I guess they had some sort of, you know, spoken agreement.
A verbal agreement.
A verbal agreement that at the very least they were going to run these things by him before they took place.
And so they ran it by him as soon as they traded him.
Yeah, after. Yeah. And, I mean, this picture, you say a picture is worth a thousand words. If you're watching on Fox Sports San Diego or if you're watching online, this is the look on Troy Tulowitzki's face when he was taken out of their game last night in the ninth inning against the Cubs. They took him out. Because he's just been traded, and you obviously can't play. You don't want him to get hurt in that moment and something weird happened. This is not the look of a guy who saw this coming. And if you're listening on the radio, maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. He's on the bench at Wrigley. And, I mean, blank stare doesn't even begin to describe. He was shocked. He was absolutely stunned by this.
Even on Twitter, I think a lot of, you know, Rocky fans, Tulo fans were really shocked.
Yeah.
It's just reading all through those. I went, whoa.
And the Rockies are not done. Carlos Gonzalez now is the next guy that they're saying could be moved by Colorado. The outfielder who, same kind of thing, went healthy, went on the field, productive.
And nice thing, he's hit six home runs the last five games. So, I mean, his stock's going up just a little bit.
Ramping up that value, especially for those up and down guys. You know, the Hamilses of the world, their resumes are what they are. Sure, it's nice that he threw the no-hitter the other day for trade purposes, but the reality is people know what he is. They trust him. You know, he's a competent, you know, starter. But for these guys that do have the injury histories, for the guys that have been up and down, the hot few days only helps the team.
Only helps
get rid
the team because, you know, when they're making those trades, you're kind of rolling the dice with some of these guys.
Sure.
Especially the future of them.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
So, anyway, it's been interesting. And as we said just a few minutes ago, it went official, I believe, Papelbon to the Nationals from the Philadelphia Phillies.
But all quiet here on the Padre home front.
All kinds of rumors.
Oh, yeah, they run rampant.
And we've heard them all. The thing is, it could get complicated, right, if you and I tried to sit here and break down all the different rumors that we've heard. But the reality is it's been made easy for us because essentially every guy on the 25-man roster has been connected to some rumor or another.
And that makes it a little bit easier. Like I said, I mean, if you got 20 guys that could be traded at the trading deadline, you know, I mean, the reporters come in, you're not bugging just one locker. You're all over the place. You got to talk to everybody.
Makes it very simple for us.
You bet.
So if somebody's like, hey, has there been a Tyson Ross rumor? Yes. Has there been a Justin Upton rumor? Yes. And
well,
we could just go down
Kastner,
the roster.
And we'll throw in Jerko.
Yeah, all of them. All of them.
Let's just get everybody.
Yeah. We've reached a point, and I don't say this to sound cynical, but I think we've reached a point where, like, there's – not one guy on this team that could be traded where I would be, like, stunned by it at this moment. Matt Kemp, maybe, just because.
Well, Kemp would shock me.
Yes. But truly, outside of that, it was like, you know, there would be guys that are more surprising and guys that are less surprising, but I don't know that there would be anything where I'd be like, I can't believe it, particularly knowing what we know about A.J. Preller and what we witnessed from A.J. Preller back in December. Anything could happen, nothing could happen, you know, or anything in between.
Sometimes I wonder, though, when you hear about all these deals going on right now, Jesse, does that narrow the window? Does that narrow the view of AJ, what he can do with different teams? Or
in some situations, yes. And in some situations, it might actually give him more options because if you're looking for a closer, well, Papelbon is no longer available.
And so now you got to look at Kimbrel.
That's it.
Good point.
Those kinds of things. So you're right. You know, if he's trying to make a deal that involves a closer with Washington, that's off the table now.
That's
right. But another team that's looking for a closer, a Toronto, whatever, now they've got one fewer option. out there. And that's just one example. So anything is possible.
That's why I find it best to sit here. We can talk about it all day long, but I just love to sit back and wait till it happens.
That's it. I mean, we can kick these things around and you sort of wait and see what goes on. But the big one so far certainly is the Colorado-Toronto deal. Reyes and Tulowitzki going back and forth. I feel bad for Tulo in the sense of the surface in Toronto. A guy that has had injury stuff. And I know it's not necessarily lower body with Tulowitzki recently, but you don't love seeing a guy that has had a significant injury history, and I think it's fair to call it significant over his career, going to the artificial turf. There are, what, two places left now in all of baseball? Is that right? Just Toronto and Tampa Bay, where you have an artificial surface. So two in that division, and that's it. You know, so I feel badly for
him. Yeah, and going to a new division, still, you know, that's going to have an effect, I think, on Tulo. Got to relearn pitchers and everything else.
Yeah.
A lot of work.
It'll be interesting.
Unless they're going to trade him for a pitcher.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, because now he has a no trade.
Yeah, I think the Blue Jays are locked in with Tulowitzki. They were on social media today pushing the jerseys and the T-shirts and everything like that. So you kind of get the sense that that was their play. But, yeah, no, they could make another move. They still need pitching. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Rockies tried to flip Jose Reyes. He just seems like a weird fit for them right now. Based upon where they're at. I mean, if they're trying to kind of start over a little bit and get some new pieces, they might move Gonzalez. They have moved Tulowitzki. Charlie Blackman's name has been out there. I mean, do they see Jose Reyes as part of the long-term future the way they do an Arenado or a LeMahieu? I would think not. So maybe they move him. Maybe they have trouble moving him, and they end up keeping him, and they say we didn't want to move him. Who knows?
You don't know.
Beauty of the trade deadline and beauty of baseball. All right, so Twitter is red hot already, RJ. And remember, if you want to jump in with your questions or your comments, you can do so using the hashtag PadresSH. We got some intel coming on the New York Mets a little bit later. Their beat reporter for MLB.com, Anthony DeComo, will join us coming up at about 3:30. So we'll talk to him about this Mets team as the Padres and James Shields get ready to take on the Mets and Noah Syndergaard tonight in game one of this three-game series at Citi Field. We got all of that coming up, a lot of your Twitter questions and comments when we return. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Get to your questions and your comments as we talk trade right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler, getting ready. Game one of a three-game set between the Padres and the New York Mets from Citi Field. Then it will be on to Miami for three more with the Marlins, and then to Milwaukee for four with the Brewers.
That's a
weird trip geographically. And all without a day off. You're going New York. Miami.
Down to Miami, back up to Milwaukee.
And then to San Diego, no day off, to start a series against the Phillies.
That's welcome to Major League Baseball.
That's it, baby.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah, you remember those days fondly.
Yeah, you know, you get in at 4 in the morning, and hey, let's lace them up and play.
Let's go play a game. Craziness. Tulowitzki expected to arrive in Toronto today. It doesn't sound like they're going to try and play him until tomorrow. So he's going to get a day there. But that's the big move from last night, of course. Tulo to Toronto. Today, Zobrist from Oakland to Kansas City. And just a little while ago, it's coming into focus, Papelbon from Philadelphia to Washington.
Interesting.
Very. It's the best trade deadline in all the sports, that's for sure, as a fan. And crazy things happen, and you got buyers, and you got sellers, and you got the tweeners. Don't forget about the tweeners. It's not always as simple as buying and selling, particularly with that second wild card. And we may, on Friday afternoon, when we come on the air and we're looking back at this trade deadline, we may say, Padres weren't necessarily buyers or sellers. They were something in between.
That's right.
We don't know. We'll see what happens. All right.
You never know after the waiver wire in August. So
that's a very good point, too.
That's always a possibility.
That's why we always refer to this, not always, we often refer to this as the non-waiver trade deadline in August. Trades can still be consummated if the player clears through waivers. And a guy that maybe has a lot of money owed to him might pass through waivers. Or a guy that, you know, you don't think there's that much interest in could clear through waivers. So there have been big August trades in baseball history. Don't forget about all of that. All right, I mentioned if you wanted to send in a question or a comment on Twitter, you can use the hashtag PadresSH. A lot have come through, Randy, and so I want to get to as many as
Let's
we can
do.
Here, and we'll do some Mets scouting coming up at the bottom of the hour as well. Marshall is up first on Twitter, and he wants to know if there is any truth to the rumor that A.J. Preller is trading Mark Grant to the Diamondbacks for a case of Diet Yoo-Hoo. What do you think? Mud for a case of Diet Yoo-Hoo?
No, I number one, I can't see mud in Arizona.
Yeah, a little hot for him.
Yeah, I don't.
He needs the more temperate climate.
Yeah, he's gonna block that.
Yeah,
he'll block.
He's a 10-5 guy.
Yes, he is.
He's a 10-5 guy. Mud has
block
a no
that
trade.
Heartbeat.
Yeah, he'll block that trade. He won't go to Arizona. Even though he's a big, he and Brenly, who does their games, they go way back. I don't think I see that happening.
No,
he might be overpaying too. Diet Yoo-Hoo.
Definitely. A whole case?
Ooh. Yeah, no, maybe a couple bottles. Love you, Mud. Stuart, similarly concerned, he wants to make sure we have no trade clauses in our deals, Randy, you and
no,
I.
No, unfortunately, we won't be here.
Well, you're stuck with us.
Yes.
You're stuck with us.
We are going to be here.
At least for now. Hashtag shopping everyone, which I like. No, hey, maybe that is a misconception. The broadcasters cannot be traded the same way.
There's
the players
no trade
can.
Deadline, I don't think, for us.
No, they can just fire us
yes,
at any time.
Anytime
it doesn't matter. all right, on a more serious note, talking about Tulowitzki being miffed and that look on his eyes in Chicago last night, Luis says, how does a player who's got an agent and a no-trade contract clause get traded and does not have a no-trade in shock? How does this work? She makes it's a fair question she's asking.
The shock is at a verbal that, hey, we'll talk to you, we'll communicate with you before we do anything, give you a heads up, and then boom, he's pulled out of a game and informed that he's been traded to the Toronto. That's where you get the shock look.
He thought he was going to have a heads up.
Yeah.
And that's why
it just came out of left field, right field.
And I understand, you say, hey, it's a business, and every player knows that this time of year crazy things happen.
You know what?
But there are guys, particularly a one like Tulowitzki, who's sort of entrenched in an organization, the face of the franchise, all of that. And you might in the back of your head say, all right, I know this could happen. But when it hits you like that and it kind of blindsides you as it did, that can be jarring.
Yeah.
And it can be.
And you hear these stories all the time. And that's just the way it works. All of a sudden, this deal kind of went through, and it got consummated pretty quick, and it just happens.
And it does happen. All right, next one. I hope, Louise, that answers your question to a certain extent. And I said this yesterday with Kurt, and you can speak to it as well as a guy who's been through this and played. It's very easy for people like me who sit here with a microphone in their face or somebody on Twitter or whatever to sort of act like we're talking about baseball cards here. But these are people. They're human beings. And you can prepare yourself for it all you want, and your agent can say, hey, just remember, this is possible. But until it happens, he's a human being.
You might see the same look. I mean, you're gonna pick up your life and move it to Canada. That's the way you got to kind of look at it.
Yeah.
I'd look like that, too, personally.
Yeah.
It's got to be a shock, even if you were talked about it. But once it's consummated, they pull you out of a game and tell you.
Yeah.
I think you still see that same look. It can't be easy.
Blooper, you got that picture again of Troy Tulowitzki? I understand. I'm not picking on him. I understand how you could look like this. When you get pulled out of the game. By the way, your team just had this great ninth inning where you come from behind and take the lead, on a quality team. And you go into the bottom of the ninth trying to close it out. And the manager and Walt Weiss, apparently, from what I read, he had tears in his eyes as he's approaching Troy Tulowitzki. Be like, hey, man, I got to take you out of this game. You're being traded. I can understand why Troy Tulowitzki would look like that.
Sure.
Craziness. All right, Ryan has the next Twitter question, and I'm sure he's not the only Padre fan thinking this way, RJ. He says, with the trade deadline looming and rumors swarming, why can't the Pods stay put with every piece they have and try to resign Justin Upton? We've heard this from people. People are saying, hey, give this thing a little bit more time. Put it together. Now, there's a possibility this happens, by the way.
Exactly. I mean, Padres may not do absolutely – they may not do nothing by Friday. I mean, if the right deal's not out there, you're not going to see it happen. I don't think they're just doing deals to do deals, Jesse. I mean, if it's not going to help this ball club in the long term, they're not going to see anything happen. You're not going to give them away if you're not getting anything in return.
That's it. You're not going to make a deal for the sake of making a deal. Dennis Lynn wrote something earlier today in the Union Tribune that, you know, hey, look, the possibility of the Padres riding it out with Upton and then at worst, meaning if they don't re-sign him, getting a qualifying, you know, putting the qualifying offer on him and then getting the draft pick if he signs elsewhere, that he goes, there's a decent probability of that being what happens here.
Worst case scenario, that's what you're looking at.
And there's nothing that has been indicated that would suggest the Padres are not going to try and sign him long-term after this season.
They'll certainly try.
Now, whether they can come up with the money or whether they want to spend the money that it might take, and there have been suggestions that this guy could be a $200 million player. You know, I don't know that they want to go that high with it. But my understanding is they're going to be in play for Justin Upton in this offseason, whether they trade him or not. And then, as we said, if they don't trade him, they give him the qualifying offer. He signs elsewhere. They get a first-round pick out of the deal. And that's a very real possibility as well. There's no question.
There's a lot of options there. But, you know, and like I say, I know they're trying to do something here before the trading deadline. But honestly, just sitting here, if they do, okay. If they don't, it wouldn't surprise me one way or the other.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't.
All right, we mentioned a little while ago, Anthony DeComo was going to join us from MLB.com. He covers the Mets. He has canceled. But he's got a good reason because there's breaking news coming out of Citi Field. Henry Mejia, one of their main bullpen guys, has received a 162-game suspension for performance-enhancing substances. He had already received an 80-game suspension. And so now strike two, 162. So, boy, they got to feel pretty good about getting Tyler Clippard yesterday.
Right.
Because the price probably would have gone up a little bit. Had this happened previously. So the Mets.
I don't know why he had to cancel this because he got suspended 162.
Well, he's got to go, like, get a story. Go write a story.
That is a story.
Bloopers got news.
Press conference at 6:30 with the general manager.
There you go. Sandy Alderson, your old buddy.
That's different.
That's what time he was going to come on at 3:30, and now he's got a Sandy Alderson press conference to attend because a key guy for them has received a 162-game suspension.
Has been stupid.
Very.
Very.
I mean, when was the first Mejia? It was recent, right? The first suspension? Yeah. I mean, this isn't even like 3 years ago, and now you got – like, this is like twice in a year, I think, for this guy.
Yeah.
That's bad, man. Mm. That's really bad. So no Anthony DeComo, but that's okay. We didn't need him anyway. He's got other things to do as he gets ready.
We can break down the Mets if you want.
We can absolutely break down the Mets. They've got some interesting guys to break down. This Juan Uribe-Kelly Johnson trade, the Tyler Clippard trade, no David Wright. All the pitching in the world and, like, no hitting. They're the opposite of the Blue Jays.
I hope,
they're the complete opposite
Uribe
of the Blue Jays.
Didn't buy a house in Atlanta.
Right.
Right.
Traded twice in one season. Oof. He had a walk-off hit, though, on was it Sunday? And the guy looked like the happiest dude in the world.
Right.
He just looked so happy to be there.
It's a business. The guy's just playing baseball. I love it.
He knows what the deal is.
It's good.
He absolutely knows. Here it is. How about that blooper? Uribe, the walk-off, I believe a double technically in the bottom of the 10th, against his old team, the Dodgers. And so Granderson scores the winning run. And Juan Uribe, I mean, you would have thought.
That's awesome.
It's his second game in the team. This guy, I've never seen a guy more fired up about, like.
That's great.
Just a walk-off double in July. But he was very excited. And Kelly Johnson was right there with him, who had just come over as well. That's a good feeling, right, when you're brand new to a team.
Brand new and you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, they love you already.
Yeah. That's
Fans
that's,
even love you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, he's
fired
they
up.
Probably sold a few Uribe jerseys at Citi Field Sunday after that game. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Got more Twitter stuff coming in about the trade deadline, people's questions and comments. Remember, you can hop on board with that. Use the hashtag PadresSH. You can also go to Padres.com/social hour where you can chat live with other fans and have conversations there about trades or whatever else. And once in a while, we pull a question from there, too.
Love it.
So that's the way this whole thing works. All right, we got a fun one coming up, okay? August 9th, it's the next Sunday home game. You can dress in your most rad 80s gear and come out to Petco for Sunday Fun Day. $25, that's what this package is, and it includes a ticket for the game against the Phillies, a drink ticket, and an 80s-inspired pair of sunglasses. So get your tickets at Padres.com/Sunday Fun Day. Padres.com/Sunday Fun Day. The last one was Murica themed. This one, 80s theme. Padres.com/Sunday Fun Day. Take a break, come back. More trade talk and your questions right after this. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio at Petco Park. Jesse Agler, Randy Jones, James Shields on the mound this afternoon. 4:10 first pitch.
Love it.
From New York. So we take you right into the game that's coming up in a little bit. Same time tomorrow, and then an early, early game on Thursday.
That's like pitching a B game, 9:10.
Are we on at 8 o'clock in the morning, Blooper? We are doing an 8 a.m. social hour on Thursday, which means coffee and donuts. So that's always nice.
Hey, coffee and donuts.
Are you on that show?
No.
Oh, that's nice. That's center, isn't it? Center? No.
No.
Oh.
Jordan.
Oh, Jordan Carruth from the Mighty 1090.
Nice.
That's a little bit of a curveball. Usually those early shows, it's center. Because he wakes up at like, you know, at his, he wakes up at like 4:30 in the morning. And so just every day. That's his thing. He wakes up early. You know, I think he does his exercises. And then he's off to writing.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, he's a, you know, he's an interesting guy. We're trying to catch up on some injury news as well coming from Citi Field. It sounds like Pat Murphy has just finished his pregame, you know, talk with the reporters, and judging by Twitter, Dennis Lynn is the only one there. I don't know why, but he appears to be the only one there. It sounds like no MRI for Will Myers, so that's good news. He was in Arizona receiving further tests on that wrist, and kind of a wait-and-see situation with that.
Yeah, you know, and you wonder about that, you know, like in the wrist, and it's a tendon, and you got that bone spur getting the pressure off of it, and it really just might be, and it's going to take more time. You know, and I got to thinking about that because I talked to Myers a little bit Friday when I was down in the dugout.
Yeah.
Before the game, and knew how frustrated he was with the soreness that he had.
Right.
And it wasn't exactly on where he had the surgery. It was a little bit lower, you know, like, and a lot of times that'll do it.
That's it. And that's sort of what was told today. Fred Yulman Jr., the assistant general manager, quote, he just has some general soreness that was to be expected with his injury
exactly.
And the procedure. So it's not a setback.
Yeah, and you know, you got to remember that a tendon and kind of, if you played professional baseball, you had tendon problems, especially pitchers and the elbow. And it's just the slowest healing thing in the world. I mean, I think a nerve regenerates faster than a tendon feels good and heals.
Yeah.
They just take time.
It's part of the deal. So we wait and we see on Will Myers, and hopefully, you know, more encouraging news. But right now, just general soreness in that left wrist. And hopefully he comes back soon. All right, we got some more tweeter questions coming in. Let's fire them up. I believe East Village Times is up next. And any news on Corey Spangenberg? That was a deep bone bruise. Yes, it was. Hashtag Ahmed must be plunked. They want retribution. The East Village Times wants Nick Ahmed to get one after he slid hard into Corey Spangenberg.
Yeah, just, you know, like I said, pitchers, you know, ball players are like, you know, elephants, man. They don't forget nothing.
You wouldn't be surprised?
Nah, down the road, he might just.
Got more games with Arizona coming.
Oh, yeah.
Got more games with them coming. But no real update on Corey Spangenberg. You know, last we heard the other day, it was just sort of, you know, he was not doing much lateral movement. Bone bruises can be significant, and it seems like this is a pretty serious one.
I talked to him today in the clubhouse, and it sounded like he was on his way to Arizona, though, to start some lateral movements and, you know, and kind of start the process of getting back, you know, get back into playing shape. You got to take your time on that. But the next question is can you move laterally and how does it feel?
Right.
You know, from there, then, you know, then you're pretty much good to go. And that's a matter of doing a rehab and, you know, swinging a bat, get some timing back before you're back.
Could be a little time.
Yeah.
Could be a little time still. Padres fan for life. I want to get to that question because it sort of brings us back to the trade stuff a little bit because, you know, you don't want to go more than 2 minutes without talking about trades this week. He says, who is most likely to get traded away from the Padres this week? And there's a version of this question from 30 different people on Twitter.
Of course.
So let's try and answer it this way, I think.
Give me a name.
It could be anybody. I'm not going to name a name.
You're not?
No, I don't. Because you know why? It would be dishonest. because it could be anybody.
No, it's a guess.
It's a guess, and that's silly. Like me just – I might as well throw a name at a dartboard,
sure.
Honestly. And so if somebody is sitting around right now and saying to you, well, I think there's a very good chance that it's this guy or that guy, they don't know anything more than you do or I do. A.J. Preller probably couldn't answer this question right now, honestly.
No.
Like if you stuck him with the truth serum and or you hypnotized him, right? Do you often hypnotize your general manager? If you did, I don't know that he would be able to give you an honest answer to this because it is such a fluid situation. Things are changing constantly. Now, are there guys that are maybe more likely than other guys? Sure. But as we said at the beginning of the show, I don't know that I'm at the point where anybody would surprise me, save maybe Matt Kemp.
Yeah, Matt Kemp would have shocked me, to be honest with you. But everybody else, you know, the obvious is anybody that's going to be a free agent in the years, if you're logical, you look at them first. I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just from the past.
But that could be Venable. That could be Kennedy.
That could be
Upton. Obviously,
Upton. Those are the three.
Okay, so and you want to throw those names out?
That's to be the three that are pretty much obvious. And I'm just talking about the history of the trading deadline and from the business standpoint, those
sure.
are the three. You know, you might look at
right.
But I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you pick one, pick a name.
And
pick Ross.
And
pick
Kashner. Would you be shocked if none of those three guys got traded?
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Me neither.
Not at all.
And that's what we're saying. Like, you know, and again, so I'm not trying to duck the question, and I'm trying to be honest. Like, I don't want to just sit here and make stuff up.
Yeah.
I know that's a big thing in sports radio. I get that. You know, people are going to sit around and just make things up and you know, try and sound like they know more than they do. That's not my style. That's not how I roll. Well,
yeah,
we're just trying to be honest.
I just know when AJ started making moves, the last time we started making moves,
we
saw what
nothing.
Happened. You know?
Yeah.
And it just kind of, all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah.
And everything happened, and this might be the same scenario.
And I said this yesterday, too. This is the first time that we get to observe A.J. Preller, general manager, at the trade deadline. We don't have a history here of him.
No.
We don't know what his deal is. Even at this time next year, we'll only be able to look back and say, well, last year, this is what he does. There's not a great body of work of him being a GM because of his newness to the role that you can kind of say, all right, hey, all those years he generally did this or generally did that. Not the case.
Let me put it this way. I think ownership and the general manager are up in the office right now, and they're working.
Yeah,
they're fielding calls.
Oh, I'm sure.
They are definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of phone talking.
Yes.
A lot of minutes being used.
That's going to be continue to go on, and today's just, hey, it's only Tuesday. We have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
That's it. A lot of time to go.
A lot of time.
1 o'clock Friday afternoon Pacific time is the actual trade deadline. So it'll be fun. You know, we'll be on.
Be a good show Friday.
Yeah, we're on at 3. So just a couple hours later, kind of break it all down and talk about it. All right, we'll take a break, come back. More Twitter stuff coming up. Also want to ask Randy a couple of questions about the Padres' win on Sunday, which was their third consecutive victory over the Miami Marlins. We got that coming up. Triple distilled, exceedingly smooth, and locally owned Montalvo Tequila, where craft meets craft. Take a break. Come back. More Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio at Petco Park with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. Got a new trade to report. Cleveland sending the veteran David Murphy to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, Orange County, California.
Wow.
How about that? The Angels in that dogfight in the American League West, they have added Shane Victorino, and now they add David Murphy as well. A couple of offensive pieces.
That'll be interesting.
So that's another deal. That has just come in
now.
We've seen a lot of position players move, huh?
Yeah.
A lot of position players.
I'm really surprised by that.
I'm looking at my list here, right? Kazmir, Cueto, Clippard, / Clip Art.
Papelbon.
Everything else position players, although Cole Hamill's going to move.
He's going to move.
At some point, so you got to wait for that.
That's going to be interesting.
Chapman's going to move. Yeah. No, it'll be very interesting. All right. Speaking of interesting. Interesting trade deadline question from our buddy Dave Perrick. Dave, for those who don't know, is our unofficial show statistician.
Ah.
Sometimes when we need numbers crunched, he crunches them.
He crunches them.
For us. And Dave asks, how many of the rumors by media do you think are writer's speculation rather than information provided by true sources? Leave that up there for a second, Blooper. My thought is this. Guys that are legitimate professional writers, if they say, according to sources, I believe that somebody told them that, 100%. You know, these guys, they're not just making that up. Now, you get a bad egg every once in a while and some, you know, clown that's trying to make a name for himself maybe. But I think if it's a legitimate writer and he says or she says, hey, according to sources, according to somebody I spoke to within the organization, I believe that they heard that from somebody in the organization. Now, all that being said, there's nothing to say that they weren't lied to. So you got to keep that in mind as well. You know, this is all a big game of manipulation. And I talked about this yesterday on the show. But, like, you know, everybody's got an agenda, right? Everybody's got an agenda, and everybody's trying to get their story out there to help themselves. And so I don't think writers are just making up that somebody told them something, but you have to.
They do. Some do.
You think so?
Sure.
You think real writers, like legitimate.
Well, I mean, define legitimate real writer.
Somebody who works
what,
for.
What, those two guys?
No.
What?
No, somebody who works for, like, a real outlet.
Yeah, I think. I won't say it's 60%, but. Yes.
You think they're lying? They're making stuff
up.
You think they're saying I have a source that told me so and so, and that they don't really?
No, maybe they feel, it's not lying. You know, it's a rumor. You know.
Well, there's a difference between passing along a rumor.
Sources is still a rumor. It's your best guess. You know, they're not talking to the assistant GM. I don't buy that.
Oh, I think some of them are. The plugged-in guys?
No, maybe.
They've got front office sources.
That's those two you're talking about.
So you think it's like two guys and everybody else is full
everybody
of hot air?
Everybody else is 60% hot air.
I guess I have a little more faith in the process than you do. I don't know why.
I'm older than you.
Yeah, no, maybe that's
maybe
it.
Maybe I've read more.
you've experienced a few more things?
Well, yeah, I think that's why the frustration, the rumors are kind of interesting. I remember the last 3 or 4 years, I mean, I would just absorb myself on all the rumors.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, after year three, I went, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, this half of this stuff is just somebody said, so they write it.
Right. Well, that's for sure.
You know, it's a reliable source. So, yeah, okay.
All right. Well, now you handled yourself nicely there. Now we're going to see how you handle yourself on the Cholula hot seat.
That's fine.
Okay, so we're going to put Randy Jones on the Cholula hot seat. And it's kind of a question here that came from a couple of different people, Colin and Connor. So we're going to kind of condense their two questions into one here.
Okay.
The first one, Colin says, do you think we're holding off on selling because of the next 13 games being quote-unquote easier and because of the success against Miami? Connor kind of continues, hey, Mets, Marlins, Brewers ahead. Biggest road trip stretch of games to the Padres this season. Opportunity to win with the trade deadline. How much do you think the Marlin series that just took place, as well as this series against the Mets, will impact what A.J. Preller does or does not do between now and the end of Friday?
Personally, none whatsoever. I think the decisions have been made, what they want to try to do, and if they can get the personnel that they want to get, it's going to happen regardless. You can sweep the Mets, and I don't think that's going to make any difference. Trying to improve this ball club, looking down the stretch, what we need, what we're weak in. If the opportunity arises by Friday at the deadline, they're going to pull the trigger. They're going to do it.
I
really believe that.
I agree. I think everything is going to be case-by-case basis.
I do, too.
All right. Are they going to, you know, let's take Justin Upton because that's the name everybody's throwing out there. Are they going to trade Justin Upton? Well, it depends on what they can get for him.
That's right. And that's what's going to be intriguing. If you move a Tyson Ross or an Andrew Cashner, one of our starting pitchers, you know, what's going to be intriguing is what, if they pull the trigger on that, what they get in return.
Right.
That's going to be interesting.
Ian on Twitter just said, he goes, you have to remember, like, teams don't have to make trades.
That's
exactly right.
Right.
There's no gun up to anybody's head saying, hey, you got to move these two guys or these six guys, whatever. There's
right.
No. Now, if they make you an offer that you feel good about, that you think you're getting more back than you're giving up, then okay. That's something. I think it's going to be case by case, trade by trade.
It's got to be case by case, but also the advantage, not just to get rid of payroll, you got to get something in return for this player. The advantage
right.
is if you do drop payroll, that just gives you more options in the offseason at free agency. That's all that does, which is a positive. But if the trade doesn't make sense now with the personnel you're going to get back, I wouldn't do it.
I agree.
I wouldn't go.
I think it really doesn't have much to do with taking 3 out of 4 against Miami.
Nope.
It doesn't have much to do with whatever happens tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday in New York. I think it's you're getting a phone call or you're making a phone call, and let's discuss this guy. What about those dudes? And if it works, do it. If it doesn't, you don't.
The weekend against Miami, it's great to see the ball club play like they can play. You know, a good starting pitching. You know, you don't have to score 7-8 runs. You don't have to be 8-for-23 with runners in scoring position like we saw earlier in the year. Good, solid baseball.
That's it.
Okay? And I really like that. I'm enjoying that. Get back to 500. you know. But when you look at it, and everybody does the numbers, and they got to be 18 games over 500 to have any chance at all for a wild card or anything. And
yeah,
let's just get a little bit realistic.
All right.
You know, I just think right now we're short of that. I don't think we have that streak in us.
I'm not surprised by this, but you did really nicely on the Cholula hot seat.
Well,
it's what you do.
Yeah,
you handle
it. I love it.
All right, nicely done. Nicely done. And I hope that answers a lot of people's questions, because a lot of people are coming with that. I mean, there are a bunch of people saying, hey, just won three in a row. You got the Mets. You got the Marlins again. You know, what about, you know, everything that takes place? But remember, of course, the deadline is before the first game against the Marlins. So it's really just these
folks,
three against the Mets.
The only thing, if they could have won those three against the Giants and then won three out of four against Miami,
maybe a different conversation.
Might be a different conversation sitting here. You know, but one of the top teams in your division dominates 2 days out of three. You know, that didn't bode well.
All right. Very nice. All right, that's Randy Jones on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Going to step aside, and when we return, talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame. Some changes being made to the voting structure for the National Baseball Hall of Fame. We'll get Randy's opinion on that when we come back, plus more of your questions and your comments. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
All right, welcome back to the AMR studio with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. Trade deadline coming up on Friday. Lots of talk about that. This past weekend, Hall of Fame induction weekend, and, of course, our own Dick Enberg receiving the Ford C. Frick Award on Saturday, and then Biggio, the unit, Smoltzy, and Pedro inducted on Sunday.
Nice.
Fun class.
Very good.
In the Hall of Fame. If anybody watches this show regularly, anytime the Hall of Fame conversation comes up, they've heard me. I don't like the process, the voting process. I find it to be just absurd. Really, that's the way I look at it. It's a mess. The Hall of Fame has taken a small step to try and clean it up a little bit. Bill Shakin at the LA Times reporting earlier today that the Hall has decided that the BBWAA members who have are more than 10 years removed from actively covering the game can no longer vote for the Hall of Fame. Now, mind you, the Hall of Fame sets the rules.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Of course it does.
You know.
Jellyman is next, and Jellyman wants to know if we have any opinion on that. Yes, my opinion is, how the heck did it take this long?
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's definitely a good thing. You haven't been around, you know.
So think about that. There have been guys that were more than a decade removed from covering baseball that were still voting on the Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah. And what is it? How many years before you 5 years?
So you're eligible? Right.
So you're eligible.
So it could be – that's a lot going on.
Yeah.
A lot of changes.
And the only thing, it's got to be improved, I think, and that's a step in the right direction. Now, if you're, the old timers try to get in the Hall of Fame, that's up to the Hall of Fame members, correct?
Mm-hmm. The Veterans Committee.
Yes.
That's for the really old guys.
Well,
but for the regular ballot, it's all the baseball writers, which is absurd. That's the thing that bothers me.
Yeah.
The fact that it's only the writers. And I understand that in 1925, that's all you had. But here we are, nearly 100 years later. Things are a little bit different now.
We've modified everything else. Let's modify this.
Yeah. Baseball is generally slow to modify. Not their strong suit
as
a whole.
I agree.
But the fact that it's only the Baseball Writers Association of America that decides these things is ludicrous. And it's particularly ludicrous when you consider the exclusivity of the membership to that organization. Corey Brock, for instance, does a fine job covering the Padres for MLB.com, and he has for, I think, 8 years now.
Right.
Not in the Baseball Writers Association of America, because they won't accept guys that work for MLB.com. It's crazy. It's crazy. Darklighter, can I do a quick one blooper? Darklighter wants to know if we think those changes affect Trevor Hoffman's chances at all next year, now that you get some of these old cranky guys out. Better, worse, indifferent?
If nothing else, it'll be better.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Nothing or better. I agree. It doesn't hurt.
Nothing or better.
Can't hurt. That'll be a fun one next year, Trevor. Sip in style at one of Petco Park's newest events, Cocktail Fest. The mixing returns August 7th, starting at 4 7:30 p.m. Stay for a summer night of baseball as the Padres take on the Phillies at 7:10. So get your tickets at Padres.com/party. Padres.com/party. August 7th, Friday night, 4:30, Cocktail Fest, and then the game at 7 o'clock. Take a break, come back, wrap up Social Hour, get you ready for the Padres and the Mets right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Angels have acquired another outfielder. It was David Murphy about 20 minutes ago. Now David DeJesus.
They're not messing around.
From the Tampa Bay Rays. I guess they missed Josh Hamilton a little bit because they've acquired three outfielders in the last 24 hours. And they've got a couple other outfielders, man, including that Fish guy.
And I just can't believe they think their pitching's that solid. I'm just surprised.
Yeah.
Keep getting outfielders, okay?
And like kind of platoon type guys.
Yeah, outscore. Go ahead. Yeah. Go for it.
Hey, game's coming up at 4:10. That's very soon. Same lineup for the Padres as they had on Sunday against the Marlins.
It's a winner.
Yeah. Hey, stick with it. Team going for their fourth consecutive win. Shields on the hill against Noah Syndergaard. First pitch is coming up. Hope everybody enjoys the game. And we'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock.